In some ways, life in Venezuela is getting better. People can protest in the streets. Reporters can get into the presidential palace to question leaders. But 3 months after the U.S. military swept in and grabbed President Nicolas Maduro, the people of Venezuela are still desperate for help, starting with a 600% annualized inflation rate. Our reporter on the ground in Caracas paints the picture, including a conversation with Genesis, a protester who calls herself Grandmother of the Resistance. Pressure from the United States on the Venezuelan government is feeding a renewed sense of hope, writes Valentina Hill. It's Friday, April 3rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The Trump administration lost an appeal to change conditions for homelessness funding. In a case that highlighted competing philosophies for addressing homelessness, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit ruled that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development couldn't change existing rules for grants. The department wished to fund transitional housing programs that promote self-sufficiency, not government dependency. A coalition of plaintiffs, including Democratic officials from 20 states, argue that housing provisions shouldn't be contingent upon conditions such as employment and sobriety. The appeals court, which upheld an earlier ruling, said HUD's proposed changes would have displaced housing recipients. 12 U.S. deportees arrived in Uganda, the first known transfer under a deal between the two countries. The deportees are expected to stay in Uganda as a transition phase before being sent to other countries. The move is part of a broader policy of sending some migrants to third countries when they cannot be returned home. The Uganda Law Society criticized the process as undignified, harrowing, and dehumanizing, and said it would challenge the deportations in court. The United States has struck similar agreements with several African countries. Costa Rica and Central America has also agreed to accept up to 25 deportees a week. Also, great hammerhead sharks, cheetahs, and snowy owls are getting new environmental protections. At a COP15 meeting in Brazil, representatives from the European Union and 132 other countries added 40 new species to coordinated conservation efforts for animals who migrate across international borders. More than 1,200 endangered and vulnerable species are already protected by the 47-year-old UN Convention on the Conservation of Migratory Species of Wild Animals. "We invest in a natural heritage we do not own, but are all responsible for," said João Paulo Capobianco, chair of COP15. "We give concrete meaning to global solidarity, recognizing that migratory species transcend nations." Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Attorney General Pam Bondi was fired on Thursday by President Donald Trump. Her dismissal comes on the heels of Christine Noem's firing from the Department of Homeland Security. President Trump has now pushed out two cabinet members, both women, as he faces growing challenges over the Iran war and the economy. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. It's been 3 months since President Donald Trump sent the U.S. military to Venezuela to capture the authoritarian leader, Nicolas Maduro. For the people of Venezuela, transformational change is still slow to come. Whitney Ulick and contributor Valentina Hill report from Mexico City and Caracas, Venezuela for The Monitor. 1 year after President Donald Trump announced his Liberation Day tariff plan, our reporters take a look at how effective using tariffs as a global bully stick has been. Laurent Belsey and Jacob Turcotte report for The Monitor. Two new efforts are underway to examine Jeffrey Epstein's past. One is looking into whether crimes occurred at Zora Ranch. Another is a bipartisan truth commission formed by the New Mexico State Legislature that seeks to tell the story of what exactly happened there. Victoria Hoffman reports for The Monitor. The Iran war is the latest conflict that has seen blows to the bedrock principles of international law, the rules of war, and the protections for civilian populations put in place after World War II. Could this age of impunity be allowed to become a new normal? Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. In Nigeria, schools are crumbling, teaching quality is often poor, and teacher-student ratios are high. One couple has been looking for solutions, hoping to improve teacher training and create a path out of poverty for children. Contributor Katie Okori reports from Ota, Nigeria, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how local bonds in a war can give peace a chance. In one of Africa's largest countries, fighting and wartime atrocities have intensified as Sudan marks 3 years of civil strife. Amid the violence, as well as food scarcity, however, ordinary Sudanese continue to creatively and courageously support each other through citizen-led mutual aid networks. These local humanitarian efforts, known as emergency response rooms, won a prestigious award last week from a British think tank, the Chatham House Prize. The award shines a spotlight on the civic underpinnings and practical effectiveness of such community associations. Sudan's war has displaced nearly 13 million people from their homes, and the emergency response rooms have sprung up in dozens of towns and villages to source and distribute food, water, and medicine. They often have volunteers cooking meals in large, open-air kitchens where fleeing families eat together. Chatham House praised the rooms' impartial nature and attempts to provide aid to all. That spirit of inclusiveness during a conflict is not confined to Sudan's emergency response rooms. Across Africa and in other countries, such grassroots efforts help lay the groundwork for peaceful coexistence at the community level. Innovation often emerges most forcefully in fragile environments, according to Ibrahima Bokum, a community leader in the eastern part of Congo, an area riven by rebel warfare. Writing in a recent Atlantic Council report, Mr. Bokum noted, "Resilience cannot be imported. It must be cultivated locally." People assume that peacebuilding only takes place after the guns have fallen silent, when in fact peacebuilding can and does take place before, during, and after violent conflict, observed Dylan Matthews, head of the international nonprofit Peace Direct. The challenge, he wrote in a 2022 article, is to move to a more holistic vision and societal attitudes that foster peace. Last year, Peace Direct supported local initiatives in 33 countries, including Myanmar. There, under a ruthless military dictatorship, hate speech, propaganda, and rumors kept neighbors as strangers, the organization reported. But local communities forged connections across ethnic lines, which eventually morphed into violence prevention and mutual aid networks. Observing community interactions on a different continent and at a very different period in history, French historian Alexis de Tocqueville identified the art of associating within local communities as a key to democracy. He was talking about the United States in the mid-1830s, several decades after it had become independent, and a couple of decades before it fought its own civil war. Through active, iterative associations within local communities, Tocqueville observed, sentiments and ideas renew themselves. The heart is enlarged and the human mind is developed. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we listen to God's message of spiritual truth, we leave behind a mortal sense of existence. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Ian Case.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.